You're listening to the Sisters in Loss podcast, a faith-based podcast that spotlights Black women who replace silence with storytelling around pregnancy and infant loss and infertility. Black women experience miscarriage and stillbirth 4 to 5 times more likely than white women, according to the NIH and CDC. Whether you've experienced a miscarriage, infant loss, stillbirth, are trying to conceive, or have an infertility diagnosis, you will learn about resources and strategies to heal, gain clarity, peace, hope, and find an empowering path forward after loss. I'm your host, Erica M. McAfee, and you will hear me interview sisters in loss who have healed from such a painful and traumatic experience by sharing their testimonies and stories to inspire and help others turn their pain into their purpose. Now let's get started.
Welcome. Welcome to the Sisters in Loss podcast. Kimberly, thank you for being here.
Well, thank you for having me.
I would love to begin with our guests sharing a little bit about themselves and what you do.
Okay. Well, I am Kimberly Gowdy. I'm new author for The Colorless Womb, and which I think that's why I'm here, and we're going to talk about that. I am a wife, a mother of one son, and a bonus mom to 2 daughters. I work in the insurance industry. I'm an insurance professional, and I love reading. And I have a mother of this little boy who just ran into the room, you know, thank God. Yeah, insurance, and like I said, I love reading. I love to exercise. Yeah, that's pretty much my story of who I am right now.
Yes, absolutely. We will definitely get into talking about your book, but you have a story and that the book is based off of. So really take us back on your journey to motherhood and share with us your fertility journey.
Well, okay. My journey, it started several years ago. I am in a second marriage. And a second marriage. And so my previous marriage was one that was filled with angst. You know, we were married for 11 years, but during that 11 years, we dealt with a lot of financial, physical abuse, and also pregnancy losses, a number of pregnancy losses, and which is not new to a lot of women, regardless of who you are and the race, doesn't matter, but women experience fertility issues. And so I think a lot of my past had to do with we were dealing with addiction during that relationship. And then you couple that with the fact that having children is an issue. So I just felt like there was like such a blame. He blamed me. I blamed him. You know, if you didn't do this, then well, if you could have kids, you know, we could, you know, it was so much all wrapped up into one. So those were the things that we battled during that relationship. And, but the biggest part, again, those two was, you know, addiction and infertility. So having had that as a problem, it ultimately ended our marriage after 11 years. And, you know, I moved on and moved to Atlanta. And at that point I was like, you know, much older, you know, and close to 40. And I really wanted to just say, hey, you know, I'm going to live my life at this point, move to Atlanta, go in, you start a whole new life and it's great. And all the things that you hear about Atlanta. But I came for work. And so that was, you know, that was a plus, you know, I had been promoted. And so moving here to Atlanta, I, you know, just figured I'd just go on through normal life and travel and have a good time. And I ended up meeting an amazing person, and we, you know, it was like a whirlwind. We met, and then 5 months later, we were engaged, and shortly thereafter, we got married. Well, I'm thinking like, you know, hey, we're going to just travel and have a great time. And then he mentions children. Are you kidding me? What? So like knowing that we were older and he already had 2 children who were older, I mean, much older. And you know, we talked about it. It was a sore subject, but I had to ultimately tell him about all of the losses that I'd had in my previous marriage. I had never really shared with him any of that detail. And that's one of the things that I will say that I left out. You know, when you have like that whirlwind, I meet you, you're so great, I'm so great. You have conversations, but some things you do leave out in that time. And that was one thing that I never really discussed with him, only because I never thought I would have to talk about it until I was really ready to talk about it. Because, you know, I never thought that we would even be broaching the subject of children. So ultimately, like I said, we're married and we talk about having kids. And I have to tell him, hey, I'm not that girl. Like, I can't do that. I'd had a number of pregnancies where getting pregnant was not my issue. It was sustaining the pregnancy. So I'd be at 6 months loss, 5 months loss. So I couldn't carry to full term. And it was devastating losses. Anybody, I mean, from the moment you find out that you're pregnant, you're like so in love. Like you're in love, you know, oh my God, it's a plus sign. Oh, I'm in love. And it, so to go, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 months into this and feeling the baby and the whole nine, and then to lose the pregnancy, and that happened more than once, it was just absolute devastation. So needless to say, it was a sore subject when he mentioned having a child. And we ultimately said, okay, I would entertain it only because it was my husband and I was so in love with him. I'll go down this road. I'll do it. You know, like in terms of going to the doctor, having the conversations. And he's like, you know, my husband is a physician. And he said, you know, hey, you know, the technology and the whole nine. Well, we went down that road. You know, we created the embryos. We did all that, you know, the whole IVF type thing. And it didn't work for me. Well, at that point, I was actually happy that it didn't, because again, getting pregnant was not my issue. It was sustaining the pregnancy. So when I just told him, hey, you know, I can't go through this roller coaster again, we ultimately entertained surrogacy as an option. He entertained it. And that was, you know, only after we had had conversations with an attorney. And so he really wanted to go down that road. It took me a minute, a very long minute, before I wanted to do that. Because when you think of going to that extent, you think, okay, I am an absolute failure. Like I have just admitted to the entire world that, hey, I cannot have children. This is it, you know, at that point. And you just really feel like you just feel like you're letting people down, you know, something that any woman you think is like, that's why I'm here. Like I'm supposed to be able to do this if I want. Because not everyone wants children, but if I want children, I should just be able to do it. And it didn't happen for me that way, which was very hurtful. But it took me a while before I decided, okay, I'll at least entertain it. Well, once I did, I instinctively wanted to have a person who, you know, I just naturally, you know, I gravitated towards someone who looked like me, like meaning an African-American female. Like, you know, that's, you know, culturally, socially, that's who I would gravitate towards with something so personal, something so intimate. And so after, you know, we went through this process with the first person, didn't work. Second person, it didn't work again. And this is over time, you know, because it's not like you just go 1, 2, 3. It takes a lot of time in between each of these processes to go from the first person. There's the mental exams, the physical exams, the background checks, the legal status. You have to go through all of that. And on top of that, looking for the person, because I didn't choose an agency. I went through this alone, searching on my own. So the first person didn't work. Second person didn't work. Third person still didn't work. And so we ultimately gave up and said, we're done. We're just, this is it. Well, then our attorney said, hey, I know this has been years in the making, but I really feel like I have this great person that could work. You know, you've got to you know, listen to me. And I'm just like, are you insane? Like, we have gone through this. This is years at this point, because, you know, we're investing all this money. I mean, none of this is covered by insurance. It's so expensive. And we've gone through all of this for a number of years. And then finally, she tells me about this woman, and her name is Heidi. And I'm saying, okay, like, how many sisters are named Heidi, which is not many, but Heidi. So I said, okay, I really don't want to do this, but, you know, she's really convinced. And my husband's all in, because again, he was the one who really, really wanted this much more than I did. So she ultimately told me that, you know, who Heidi was and that she was white. And, you know, so I said, okay. My husband convinced me to say, hey, let's just at least meet her. If it doesn't work out, like, we don't have to move forward. Let's at least just meet her. But when I did meet her, when I walked through the door, she was there with her husband. Both our husbands share the same name. It was an amazing meeting. It was as if I saw, she was my sister. She was there and she wanted to help me. And it's the journey that I went through and to ultimately give me the most amazing person in my life, which is my son. And so that's pretty much my story in a nutshell.
Yes, I love that. And I love how your husband kept persevering. Your husband and your lawyer was like, oh no, we're gonna keep looking, we're gonna keep searching. Yeah. And until we find someone that will be able to connect with us. And you found that connection. So how was the journey through the pregnancy with the surrogate? You know, was it open? Were you able to go to appointments? How was that process?
Yeah, I attended every appointment. It was good. It was good-ish, because I'll say that there were times when you have a surrogate, and because it's, you know, few and far between, in all honesty. And, you know, when I would attend some of the visits, I write about this in my book, that there were times when I felt invisible during the office visits, because everything would be directed towards the surrogate. And as if I am, you know, it's almost like when dads say, you know what, hey, I'll go to the visit, that's fine. But really everything, you know, the mom, she's getting center attention. She's the center of attention, of course. And the questions are towards her, but it's her child. At least you can say, like, you know, she's carrying her child. In this case, it was my precious cargo, if you will, and someone else was carrying my child, but I still had a lot of skin in the game, because again, it's my child. But it was just as if I were dismissed. And hey, do you want to hear the heartbeat, Heidi? If I said, hey, you know, like, can we just hear it again? Heidi, is that okay with you? Like, it's my child. And if I want to hear his heartbeat, like, at least have the compassion to know that, hey, I'm already having to realize that, you know, I am broken, if you will. At least give me that much, you know, to say, hey, I have some say in this situation. And so those were some of the issues that I encountered during the journey with Heidi.
Yes. And let's talk about your book, because I know that you share more details about your journey through your other losses, as well as through the surrogacy journey. So tell us, like, what was the inspiration for writing this book now, and all about the book and the details and where we can find it and all that.
Okay. Well, the inspiration, in all honesty, I always felt like I wanted to write a book. I felt like I wanted to have my name on something. It was as if my book was like a birth. Like, you know, I couldn't actually give birth, so my book is like my baby, so to speak. So I have always said that I wanted to write a book. But the timing of this particular book is because there had been so many racial issues that have happened in our country. I mean, so many, and there's so much negativity. And I just wanted to show that I understand, you know, like the division that has taken place, but I wanted to show that it's not, you know, it's not everyone, that there are people that are good and bad, whatever the race, it doesn't really matter. And so for someone who doesn't look like me, does not, you know, we have no connection in terms of our culture, in terms of our appearance, nothing, white, black, that it's still, you know, there are still good people in this world, and that, you know, people need to see that it's just not everybody who subscribes to the racist mantra, that that's just not the entire country. So that is the reason that I really wanted to bring out the book at this time. That's why it was very important to me to do that. And then, you know, I wanted to talk about a story that I thought would be relevant, because I know that a number of friends that I have as well, they've either decided, you know, they're just childless by choice and some not by choice, but I had not actually shared a whole lot with them in terms of the struggle that I had until I got to the surrogacy piece of it. And then they absolutely knew, like, no longer could I just kind of play it off like, oh, you know, I'm just not into children kind of thing. I had to really say, hey, this is what's going on with me. And I wanted to tell them, not only was it the journey in terms of my surrogacy, but also the drug addiction, also the physical abuse and everything that I had gone through in my previous marriage that I never had the courage to really tell them.
Yes, no, absolutely. And we thank you for the healing journey that led you to this place to be able to share your story, because I know that it's going to be so impactful for other women to read that, you know, who may be dealing with something similar, whether even if it's just emotional and mental abuse, that they can help, you know, see someone else to get through that and know that they can have love on the other side. And so I love that this book was written for that and for those women and your friends and mine. So you can give them of all of the things that you traveled through and overcome. And I always love to hear stories of resilience and women who are really turning their pain into some form of purpose.
Absolutely.
Doing. So I appreciate this. So The Colorless Womb is found on Amazon. Can we get it on Amazon? Or
yes. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Apple iBook. You can, you know, definitely order it through all of those distributions. And pretty much wherever books are sold, they are also ordering the book if you, you know, depending on where you go to pick up your literature.
Perfect.
Yeah. And if you want to follow me, I want to add following me, like you can follow me on Twitter, follow me on Instagram or Facebook. It's The Colorless Womb _ because I like to underscore The Colorless Womb. So it's like The Colorless Womb _ is how you can follow me.
I love that. So what encouraging words can you leave with our listeners and those who are watching this video as they navigate through their own pregnancy loss challenges, fertility challenges, and maybe considering surrogacy?
I would say, first, I would say that when it comes to surrogacy, it's an investment, but with anything that's worth having, that type of investment, when I look at my son and when I look at my son and how much joy he has brought to my life, he can be like, you know, all over the place, and he can be, you know, what kid isn't? But to think that I almost missed this life, because again, if you're childless because you don't want to be a mom, that is perfectly fine. But to be childless and it's not by choice, which was my situation, I cannot even imagine, like, you know, like when I see him, when he, you know, calls me mom and he's so sweet. I'm like the world to him, even when I'm like, you know, even after disciplining him, hey, you know, you can't do so-and-so. And it's like, mommy, I just still love you. I love you so much. to think that I would have missed all of that. There was like no amount of money that I can't even, the benefit that you get is just, you know, it's priceless. And so I would say, like, if you have gone through so much of a challenge and nothing's working, every, you know, if it's IUI, if it's IVF, you know, whatever you're doing, and it's just not working, and you really still feel like, you know, hey, there is, you know, I long for this relationship, you know, with my child, it's definitely an avenue that you can at least try, this particular avenue. The benefit of it, you know, I remember what one of the things that I said to my husband when I said, I just don't want to do this because it just seems like I'm such a failure. And he's like, you know, is it that you want to be a mom, or is it that you want to say that you carry the child? Like, what matters to you? And I remember he said that to me and I was so irritated, but I did want to be a mom. And so wanting to be a mom, it outweighed, you know, the fact that I couldn't do it the old fashioned way. So, you know, the normal way, I guess we'll say, but yeah, I would say just continue the, you know, look at it as an option, as an option. And even from the financial aspect of it, think of it as an investment, because the investment, the love that you get back is, and just the joy that you get back, it, again, it is priceless. It absolutely is.
Perfect. I love it. Love the thought process of thinking of it as an investment. Yeah. And I think that a lot of us don't think of it that way because we see other people do it the natural way, which is not, you know, no cost associated with it. So when we have to invest in ourselves and invest in our future, we don't think of it as that way. And I love the thought process of that. Think of it as an investment and know that the end goal is just to become a mom. And I love that advice. I think that is definitely going to help some of our listeners as they navigate through. So I would love for you to drop your social links again. Where can we find the book, and where can we follow you on social media?
Okay. You can follow me on all social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. It's the colorless room underscore. And you can purchase the book through Barnes and Noble, Amazon, and Apple iBook. And honestly, wherever books are sold, because they will order the book, The Colorless Womb. So all those places, please follow me. That would be great. It would just be nice to interact with other people who are dealing with this particular situation. So yeah.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Kimberly, for being on the podcast. It's been a joy to have you, and I'll make sure I link all of her details below so you all definitely can go purchase her, support the book, and then definitely go follow her on social.
Thank you so much, Erica. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. For show notes, go to sistersinloss.com. To stay connected with us and join the Sisters in Loss community and receive my weekly newsletter, please go to sistersinloss.com/newsletter. That is sistersinloss.com/newsletter. Please rate and review this episode, and I will talk to you next week.